This is OTB AM.
That's a load of nonsense. Because he's English, he's led Liverpool to a Champions League and he's led him to a Premiership title for the first time in 30 years. It's because he's English. That is outrageous to say that. Well, if you're looking for an headline, then there you go. That's it. That's all that. That's
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We are sticking with rugby. Pro 14 final tomorrow, Leinster against Ulster. Alan Quinlan is with us. How are you, Alan?
Good on now, and yourself?
All good. Let's get straight into this. The Leinster team is expected to go with Ross Byrne instead of Johnny Sexton at out half. How disrespected would you feel if you were Ulster reading that team news that they're picking Sexton for Saracens rather than for the final this weekend?
I don't think you'd be disrespected because they've done it before, and I think there's realisation that he's an international player as well. Obviously, there's a difference between him and Johnny Sexton and what they've achieved and the ages of the players. If this was a one-off scenario that hadn't happened before, but Leinster have shown they've done this before in semi-finals and finals and in Europe in the last couple of seasons, and it's worked for them. So I don't think you'd be disrespected. And it gives a little ray of light, if you like, and that's being respectful to Ross Byrne, because Sexton just really makes Leinster tick and puts him on the front foot and is so dominant and a big leader for them. But sometimes I've thought about this before. Does it make Leinster weaker and a little bit more vulnerable? I think they did it against Munster in the last couple of semi-finals last year, the year before, and he's just done a fantastic job, Ross Byrne. He's fearless and he's transitioning into the team and he seems to be able to deal with the pressure of these big games. So it gives a ray of hope that they're not going to be as good with Sexton on the field, but Ross Byrne has done a fantastic job.
It seems that technically there isn't a huge drop off when you get to Ross Byrne on the pitch. It's more to do with the leadership qualities that Sexton brings and I guess the decision making on the pitch.
His kicking game is probably smarter, I think, and he takes the ball to the line, Sexton, probably that a little bit more aggressively and has that more confidence to be really dominant. Ross Byrne probably stays a little bit deeper, and that's part of his development is having the confidence to really run with the ball because he is a big guy, and Sexton probably has that more belief in himself to do that and probably more dominance with players around him. But Ross Byrne has been, you know, very calm and assured in his performances. He's kicking at goals has been spot on as well for him. So it is, you know, he'll transition into the team and he'll be very calm. I like his composure and, you know, so he's not a guy who's going to panic. And you'll probably see there won't be any difference in the intensity of their performance or the execution of it.
Quinny, you said it yourself when you were on with the lads earlier in the week that Leinster weren't great against Munster, and like they weren't great against Munster either day. And I suppose most of the conversation post last weekend has been focused on Munster. But Leinster weren't great either day. In fact, the best performance they've had since they came back was like the seconds effectively against Ulster a couple of weeks ago. So like there is a case for Ulster here this weekend, isn't there?
There is a case, but it's not a very strong case, Adrian. I think they can look back on the European game last year when they ran Leinster very close and probably should have won that game. And you probably get that once out of 10 when someone plays Leinster in a big game, unless you're Saracens or maybe Racing or someone like that, where we expect it to be a lot closer. We probably expect Munster to be closer at times in the last couple of seasons, but Ulster will look back at that game and say, look, we've been down there before. And that can be dangerous in a way because it can take away that fear that if you don't play well against Leinster and if your emotion isn't through the roof and your intensity, that you're going to get walloped. But everybody expects this to be a one-sided affair and for Leinster to win. So Dan McFarland is right when he says they've got a puncher's chance. They've got to land a few knockout blows and that's important how they start the game. And if they stay in the game, then, well, you never know. They're a side who do throw caution to the wind a little bit. They have some game breakers. They have some individual brilliance that can change a game. And, you know, if they ask questions of Leinster, who knows? But the reality is, they're not, I don't think they're strong enough to win the game. I could be wrong. But, you know, looking back in that game, they've been there. They'll have regrets from that. They'll know the level that's required. I think they'll know that you've got to bring a real intensity and aggressiveness. And, you know, for the last 20 minutes last week against Edinburgh, they can take a lot of confidence out of that. It's a real character builder, that one, because the previous couple of weeks, Ulster weren't good. They were porous and soft a little bit against Connacht in that first game, and well beaten by Leinster's second string in the second game. So they need their big players. You know, Kutsias was fantastic last week for them. If they can follow him, and you know, some players can have big games and back him up. Stuart McCluskey can be very effective with him. Rob Little, get him the ball. And I think, you know, they have a chance. There's no doubt about that. And they'll believe it themselves. But ultimately, they've got to have, you know, a top class performance to upset the odds here.
When you say they're not strong enough, where is the weakness?
Well, again, it's a little bit like I mentioned about the monstrous front five last week. You know, you've got to get a platform against Leinster, and, you know, Rob Herring against Ronan Kelleher. That's a really interesting one, because Andy Farrell will be watching that closely, who will start for Ireland in the autumn. They're two internationals. You know, does Dan McFarlane go with Eric O'Sullivan and Tom O'Toole this week over Jack McGrath and Marty Moore? Alan O'Connor, I thought he was fantastic last week. His aggression, his honesty, his work rate, but he's not an international. Sam Carter has been a little bit disappointing for me. You sign an Australian international. I think his impact hasn't been what you'd like from an overseas player when you bring him in. We've had this debate so many times. When you bring in overseas guys, they've got to be better than players you already have, and they've got to make a real impact, unless they're you know, the project players, which we've seen happen a lot in the last number of years. He's an Australian international. So I look at the front five and I think, you know, can they get the better of Leinster? And that's where the question marks are for me. They've become harder, if you like, in the last couple of years, Ulster. And one of their biggest issues was not their backline, but their ball-carrying ability up front. And who's going to step up with Kutsia? Is Eric O'Sullivan going to make carries? Tom O'Toole, Herring, Carter and Alan O'Connor, are they going to be, you know, aggressive with Fardy and Toner, or maybe James Ryan? Are they going to make an impact themselves and impose themselves? So it's a front five situation again for me. I think if Ulster get enough of quality ball, they have guys, you know, James Hume is a very, very exciting player. Rob Little, you know, if they get enough of ball, they can be very, very dangerous. And they're the question marks for me up front.
That seems to be what it comes down to. In the Irish Times this morning, Gavin Comiskey is quoting from Rory Best's book, saying how Dan McFarland put a premium on time between ball carry and ball availability, that there was a limit of 2 seconds between those two things happening in training, and there was a countdown timer essentially in training for that thing. That seems that very much applies to your game plan against Leinster. If you don't get that quick ball at ruck time, you don't have a chance against Leinster. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, if you get, obviously, every team will try and generate quick ball, because it takes a little bit longer for defences to set. It's very well doing it in training.
Yeah.
It's different in a match when you play against a side as good as Leinster. That has to be your ambition. I think quick ball, you can ask questions of defence, and they find it much more difficult to get set. The defensive coach in any team wants you to slow down the ball, because then you can get your defence set and you can be dominant, get off the line and really turn a defence into attack by putting pressure on the opposition. So they're very ambitious, and I think I like Dan McFarlane. I think he's very astute. He's a good reader of the game. And, you know, that having that ambition to generate quick ball. And if they do generate quick ball, well, then they can ask questions, and they have the ability to cause problems out wide for Leinster. But I can't see Leinster allowing that to happen. You know, Leinster have been very, very dominant in defence in their last 24 matches. I think they only conceded around 40 tries in this remarkable run. They're going for 25 consecutive wins, and they've only conceded 40 tries. So they average 1.66 tries per game. It's really interesting, and only one team has got in those 24 wins since they lost the Saracens last year in the Champions Cup final. They have 24 wins on the trot, and only one team has got a bonus point against them, a try bonus point, and that was Ulster before Christmas. They scored 6 tries, but they still lost the game 54-42. So I just thought that was really interesting. It kind of jumped out at me this morning that they're the only team who scored 4 or more tries against Leinster. So they don't concede a lot of scores. They only average 1.66 a game. So that tells its own story about how good they are without the ball and how good they are with the ball. When, you know, they're averaging, I think they average 4.45 tries per game. So they score a lot of tries and don't concede a lot of tries. That's what makes them so good. And it's the quality of player they have. So at the end of the day, I think Ulster can cause them problems, but it comes down to what happens up front. And, you know, Jordy Murphy, Matthew Ray, Marcel Coetzee, they need big games. Their second rows need to really impose themselves and how to deliver that ball to their backline.
And Quinny, we were actually having a similar conversation in relation to the football a bit earlier about the value of tactics versus like motivation or mentality or whatever. And I know that like we spent the last couple of years talking about the diluting of the personality of provinces by bringing in players from other provinces. But having said all of that, if you're Dan McFarlane, do you not try to just get every Leinster player available on the pitch this weekend? And I mean, that provides all the motivation they need, surely.
Yeah, it's a very good point. You put Jack McGrath, Marty Moore there, Jordy Murphy.
Madigan.
They have a point to prove. Yeah, Madigan, they have a point to prove. I think it's a little bit more difficult with Madigan because that pivotal position at 10, Billy Burns, has been really good for Ulster. Do you start him after getting the conversion and the penalty last week? I'm not sure. Having Madigan come off the bench maybe gives that a little bit of spark as well, enthusiasm and quality as well, and a real determination if they are kind of chasing the game, which they possibly could be. If Ulster get themselves in front, well, they're the ones that can build and grow a little bit of confidence, but they've got to keep playing. But there is a big argument for Jack McGrath and Marty Moore. I think Jordy Murphy will start. Sean Reedy was good when he came off the bench last week. And those decisions that Dan McFarlane were big, big decisions to take to bring Matheson on and Reedy last week. I think they were massive, massive decisions. Matheson looks like he may start ahead of Cooney. I think he had a big impact last week. Yeah, there's definitely an argument to start these guys, but you know, he's got to get the balance right and see, you know, will they be needed to bring on that impact and make an impression? Jack McGrath, it's just funny. I think 2.5-3 years ago, he's down in New Zealand coming off the bench for the Lions in the 3 tests and putting massive pressure on Makuvunipola to start, and I just think it's amazing the way that, you know, he's kind of fallen off. His performance is that level of performance. I think his confidence is probably shot a little bit, and I still think he can turn it on, and I still think he's a top quality player. He'd be the probably one I'd say this is your opportunity to show Leinster why they let you go effectively. I think it's a little bit different from Marty Moore. He was kind of on the fringe.
Why shouldn't they let you go?
Wasn't started. Pardon?
Show them why they shouldn't have let you go.
Yeah, probably. I don't think he would have wanted to leave Leinster at the time. I would have been frustrated and disappointed. But look, it is what it is. That's sport. Things can change quickly like that. But
we'll see how it pans out.
We'll do, yeah.
And even Andy Farrell, it was an interesting one you mentioned about John Cooney as well. And like on that point, and to move on the conversation slightly, just in the last couple of minutes that we have, Quinny, I know you'd spoken to the lads at length about Munster at the weekend, but just one thing that we wanted to go back on that had been developing over the course of the week that had been mentioned by Gordon Darcy. It had been mentioned with Brian O'Driscoll on Wednesday night, and he was talking about it as well, the lack of on-field leadership specifically. So when the box kicks are happening, that nobody on the pitch is willing to tackle the head coach by saying, actually, hang on a second here, we need to stop doing this, or the lack of leadership to take that on. And maybe, you know, we talk about scrum halves, and Andy Farrell must be pulling his hair out at the minute, wondering where his starting scrum half is going to come from for the games upcoming. But a lack of on-field leadership, specifically in relation to that Munster group, is an incredible thing to be saying about Munster at all. But do you go with that? And who are those players that need to stand up for Munster?
I can't believe we're going back on Munster again. But anyway, we have to, I suppose, and I listened to Dricko, and I thought it was very interesting. I was in dressing rooms with him over the years, and himself, Rog, Paul O'Connell, I would have seen them challenging all the different coaches, not just the manager, about, you know, particularly in video sessions, if something didn't go right that the coach wanted to implement, and if the coach didn't back the players over something they wanted to do in a game, like different backline moves, kick the ball more, whatever the case may be, you know, you'd have a Monday morning session then where this would come up and it'd be a real debate, and they'd try and address it, and there'd be a bit of honesty about what's happened. You're talking about on-field leadership. I think it has to come from your 8, your 9, your 10. You know, the level of experience, maybe you could have a full back, someone like Rob Kearney, if he's playing for Leinster in the last number of years, or Ireland, would have a big voice in the dressing room. You know, the hooker, about what way he wants his forwards to approach line out, stuff like that. So invariably you'll have 4 or 5 leaders who you want to challenge as a coach. And that seems to be a bit of an issue, because look, it's easy watch on TV or watch up in the stand and say, well, that's the wrong option, that's the wrong option, that's the wrong option. It's difficult sometimes when you're out on the field. And that's the real key to leadership on the go, where you see something that's not working. You might have identified space or weakness in the opposition and a certain way that you're going to keep hammering away at them. And then you go out on the field and it's not working. Like the vulnerability maybe that Jordan Larmour had last week, that Munster continued to keep going with the box kicks, and then the opposition tied him up and catched him. And then where do you go to from there? You've got to make on-field decisions. And I think Conor Murray, you know, with his experience, the 10, Jay Jehanran as well. So the real decision makers are, and you know...
Is there a lack of leaders in that group, Quinny?
I think there's leadership qualities there. There's no doubt about that, because you can't not have leadership with experience. And guys, Peter O'Mahony's the captain. They're all internationals. CJ Stander, you know, there's a lot of really big players in there. But I think the leadership and the decision-making on the field and the ability to see where space is and change things on the go is a problem for them. And it's something that the best teams do on the run. You know, you take the lead. How do you shut up shop without being really negative and stop playing and, you know, things like that have to happen on the go. So there is issues there, and that's something that they've got to get better at and have more options in the locker, if you like, when a certain thing is not working. How do you change up the game on the run, out on the field? I remember having this chat with Joe Schmidt a few years ago. Ireland played England in Twickenham about 5 or 6 years ago, and they adopted an approach of little dink kicks in behind the English defence because it was coming up so much. And Ireland kept doing that. And then England kind of dropped Danny Kerr back into that position. And he catches one of them, makes a line break up the field, scores a try. But Ireland kept doing that. And I remember writing an article, having a debate with Joe afterwards, saying, I thought Ireland should have changed the tactic up out on the field and realised Kerr was back in that position, hoovering up those little kicks in that space in behind. And they kept doing it, and they ended up losing the game. It wasn't the sole reason they lost the game. But that's the brilliant kind of leadership that you want. That's hard sometimes to develop, but it's a vision of being able to see where space and opportunities are on the field. And that's something they need to get better at. You know, it's difficult sometimes for Conor Murray because his head is down. He's sprinted from ruck to ruck. Sometimes your 10, 12, 13 can see the way the game is unfolding a little bit better. And that's something they definitely need to get better at.
Alan Quinlan, enjoy the final tomorrow. Chat to you next week.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
Alan Quinlan there on the line. He'll be with us again on Monday morning to reflect on Leinster against Ulster.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.